Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
If you are excited to see the month of November, the devil thought you will not see November. And here you are, in the sanctuary and not in the mortuary. Somebody get excited. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big, 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 big shout of praise. He's worthy. Amen. You may please be seated in God's presence. I welcome you in the name of the Lord to this very awesome service this morning. Everyone in-house, everyone online, you are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a prophetic entrance service. And it's also, usually every Friday is a covenant day of trumpets. Praise the Lord. And this month, God has also unfolded that the month is the month of praise. Amen. Is somebody excited about that? Praise facilitates fulfillment of prophecy. I want you to get set. We are going to praise God the way we have never praised Him before. Our anointed mission has been doing well. Praise the Lord. But this is your month, so you have to re-strategize. Amen. It's a month of praise. And to lead us in praise is the anointed mistress. So the Lord will give you special grace. You need to. And we are starting right in this service. Amen. So we are still going to praise the Lord. Amen. So just get set. We go into the word. Then we switch gear to praises. Two media of breaking invisible barriers this morning, the word and praise. Praise the Lord. So as this word of God is coming your way, all barriers will be broken. And when we switch gear to praises, all of them shall be extincted in the name of Jesus Christ. So get set this morning. God is so faithful. God sent a prophetic word to us this year that this is the year of breaking limits. And the devil saw the potency of that prophecy. Then he tried to turn it around by bringing all manner of chaos, coronavirus, and things like that. But nothing can stop God. Praise the Lord. So if you have not experienced the breaking limit in the area you wanted it, it's not late. This is the 11th hour, and there are 11th hours miracles. Therefore, I decree this month of November shall be a month to remember for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. My God will visit you in a way He has never visited you before. In this commission, November is like the last month of the year. Because when we enter December, that's Shiloh. That's like a new year of the ministry. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I decree for you and I, this shall be our crowning moment. So God said, amazing wonders will happen for you and I in this month. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Our focus for our Sunday teaching is captioned Understanding How Praise Facilitates Fulfillment of Prophecies. Understanding how praise facilitates fulfillment of prophecies. All we are saying, this month of November, everything God said concerning you shall be fulfilled. So what we are doing this month is to put some activators to make it work faster, to put some speed in it. And the principal one we are putting is praise. We want to make praise to force the prophecies into fulfillment. And that's what we want to unfold. How does it happen? How is it going to happen? First, we must understand that prophecy is the unveiling of God's plan and purpose for a nation, a people, or an individual. The unfolding or the unveiling of God's plan or purpose for a nation, a people, or individual. You can see that in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25. I am the Lord, I will speak the word, and I shall speak. What I speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged for your days. I decree in the name of Jesus, everything God said concerning you and I, this year will come to pass this month. There shall be no more delay. Now, scripturally, there are two main sources of prophecy. The first one from scripture, which is said to be a more sure of prophecy. two sources of prophecy. The first one is scripture. The Bible itself is a source of prophecy. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Say with me, more sure word of prophecy. So the first source of prophecy is the Bible, the word of God. Never mind whatever anyone is saying to you that is contrary to this. This is the foundational. This is the source of all prophecies according to scriptures. Now, number two, source of prophecy is from the prophets of God. Secondly, from prophets sent our way. The prophets of God. But we have to be very careful. These days, there are so many merchandise prophets. There are so many professional prophets. When we say professional prophets, they are the prophet that God did not really call, but they are using it as a business to deceive people. Please be very careful. Especially that the whole world has changed by technology. Amen. You can hear anyone, anywhere, anytime, just by technology. And a lot of people are taking advantage of others with that. Deceiving others. Claiming to be what they are not. So we have to be very watchful. But in spite of that, there are real prophets of God. And we are so highly privileged to have one of those prophets in this commission. Our father, Bishop David Oedipo. Praise the Lord. Aren't you excited? For instance, God spoke through him that this year 10,000 churches will be planted. For him to believe that, it must be God. Even himself, when he delivered it, he said, God said this year he will plant so that nobody is going to hold him responsible. Praise the Lord. God said this year, that was early in the year, he will plant by himself 10,000 churches. And now it has crossed 9,000. As at this morning, they announced 505 planted last week. So it's like 9,505. So it's like 500 every week. So by next week Sunday, it would have crossed 10,000. Praise the Lord. So that's how it works. We have that prophet. In Luke chapter 4, verse 25 to 27, the Bible talked about prophet Elijah that was sent to the widow of Sarepta. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, the same Luke chapter 4, verse 27, he said there are many lepers in Israel, but only Elisha was sent to Naaman. Praise the Lord. So there are prophets sent to specific generation and specific people. So these are two main sources of prophecy. If you can locate it from the word, great. If you can locate it through the prophet sent to you, great. But either we locate it from the word or from the prophet sent to us, we have a responsibility to know what it takes to experience fulfillment of prophecies. Prophecies cannot be fulfilled by itself. It's not automatic. We must know what to do. We must take responsibility. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. So it takes the know-how. Somebody say know-how. It is your know-how that brings you into your realm of exploits. Daniel 11, 32, those who do know their God will be strong and do exploits. So, and that's what God is going to be showing us. Now, what are prophecies? Prophecies are the unfolding of divine plan. Prophecies are the unfolding of divine plan. So prophecies are not religious wishes, but the unfolding of divine plan. Say with me, divine plan. So when somebody comes to you and say, God is saying this, it must truly be God saying it. Otherwise, it's no prophecy. Prophecies are the unfolding of divine plan. They are not religious wishes. It's not just what you wish. They must be from God. Just like in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, the Bible says, they failed not out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. Now, what are prophecies? Prophecies are sworn verdicts. Sworn verdicts. Prophecies are not psychological permutation, just trying to use psychology to calculate, you know, if palm 3 from 5 equals 10 lines. No, they are not, you know, permutations. They are sworn verdicts. Look at how Prophet Isaiah put it. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. As I have proposed, so it shall stand. I stand here to decree in the name of Jesus. Everything God said concerning you will come to pass this month. Don't worry how it's going to come to pass, even if it looks as if it's late. For instance, if somebody is saying you'll be married this year, and then nobody has even proposed to you, it may look impossible. But if God said you are going to be married this year, it doesn't matter what your status is right now. You'll be married this year. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, everything God said concerning you, because it's a sworn verdict, it will come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Why are prophecies sworn verdict? Because God speaks according to himself. God speaks according to himself, not according to us. What I mean is, he speaks according to his size, his ability, according to what he can do. Human beings are limited, but God is unlimited. Whatever God says he can do, even if it is the very last day, we'll do it. Praise the Lord. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. 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 In Genesis chapter 22, verse 16 to 18, God spoke to Abraham and said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord. So that's prophecy. It's a sworn verdict because God speaks according to his size. Now, how then is prophecy fulfilled? How is prophecy fulfilled? Number one, receive the prophetic word. The prophecy you don't receive cannot be fulfilled. Until a prophetic word is received, it never gets fulfilled. Look at that scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. You can only do well. Prophecy can only prosper in your hand when you take heed. Take heed simply means to receive it. When you don't take it to a prophecy, the prophecy cannot work for you. But in the name of Jesus, prophecy will work for you. Receive it. Receive the prophecy. So it's not too late to receive the prophecy for the year. Say with me, I am breaking limit. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, the seed is the word of God. And in verse 15, he said, having heard the word, keep it. So the prophecy, the seed, is the word. So when you hear the prophecy, keep it, receive it. That's what it's saying. I pray in the name of Jesus, the prophecy will work for you. Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32, verse 32 precisely, it said, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs. That's the word. That's the seed. That is, when you receive the seed of the prophecy, the word, and you receive it, it grows up. That is, it becomes fulfilled. So it takes receiving the prophecy in order to benefit from the prophecy. Now, why is it important to receive the prophetic word before it gets fulfilled? Why? We said we must receive it before it can get fulfilled. Why is it important? Now, every prophetic word received ignites hope. When you receive a prophetic word, your hope arises. Just like the prophetic word for this year says it's our year of breaking limits. So when you are tied down, when you are stagnated, and you receive that prophetic word, you have hope that it doesn't matter where I am right now. By this word of prophecy, I know I am breaking limits. Look at Jesus Christ. Ooh, for the joy that was set before him. Hebrews chapter 12, he despised the shame. He endured the cross because he could see That's hope. In our days, we have underestimated the power of hope to faith. We talk a lot about faith. We despise hope. But the truth is, without hope, there's no faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So without hope, there is no faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what prophetic word does is to ignite hope, set fire on your hope, so that your hope is kept alive, so that you keep standing on, so that you are not discouraged. You keep holding on. I'm not giving up. You begin to sing that song. I'm not down. I'm not dying. My God will do it again, just like before. Hallelujah. Somebody is catching fire in his hope. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our world is becoming hopeless today. That's why many are losing faith. But in the name of Jesus, your hope is coming alive. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The comfort of the scripture, receiving the prophetic word, ignites our hope. I love the testimony of Job. In 14:14 of Job, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. It sounds to me like someone that has hope, that change is coming. I have good news for you. Your change is coming. I say, I have good news for you. Your change is coming. Listen to me. It doesn't matter where you are right now. It doesn't matter your status right now. I decree in the name of Jesus, as you receive the prophetic word this morning, it will ignite hope in you. And everything God has in plan for you will be fully delivered. He says, surely there is an end. Your expectation will not be cut off. Now, why is it important to receive the prophetic word? Number two, every prophetic word received stimulates joy and rejoicing. When you receive the prophetic word, it stimulates joy and rejoicing. It stirs up joy and rejoicing. And that's why this month is very crucial. It's very critical. Because it's a month that we need to praise God. We need to celebrate God. Look at what the prophet said, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Your words were found, I ate them, and your word became my joy and rejoicing. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the prophetic word for the year in your life today will stir up joy and rejoicing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, what's the implication of joy and rejoicing on fulfillment of prophecy? If the prophetic words stimulate joy and rejoicing, how does it affect fulfillment of prophecy? Joy and rejoicing culminate in praise. When you are joyful, when you are rejoicing, you will have the ability to praise God. So joy and rejoicing leads to praise that brings down God on the scene. And remember, God is the one that sworn the verdict, and God is the one that also brings the prophecy into fulfillment. Look at how it looks like a vicious circle. You receive the word of prophecy, it brings joy and rejoicing. No, God gives the verdict, you receive it, it brings joy and rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing steps you into praise. Praise brings God down. Shout hallelujah. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, no devil can stop you from a change of level this month. No devil can stop you from entering into the fulfillment of prophecy this month. Let me hear your believing amen. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabit the praises of his people. Let's quickly consider the case study of Abraham. Look at how it started for him. A prophetic word went forth to Abraham concerning the birth of his promised son, Isaac. We saw that in Genesis chapter 17, verse 4 to 8, and also Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. Now, Abraham had to engage the mystery of praise to see prophecy fulfilled. Someone is wondering how. It was documented in Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 20, that against hope, Abraham believed in hope, then he was giving glory to God. He started giving glory to God. Listen to me. Don't give up yet. Don't say, well, it's 11th month. I don't know how this thing is going to happen. For my paper to be approved, it will take 6 months. How can it happen this, just 2 months? For me to give birth, it will take 9 months. How can it happen in this same year? But you can still be pregnant this same year. Praise the Lord. Somebody is saying, you know, but nothing is happening right now. Everything is slow. How can I still experience business turnaround? If God said it, all it takes for you is to believe it. And to engage the force of praise, as we're going to do this morning. Abraham engaged the mystery of praise to see prophecies fulfilled. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 20. And then God fulfilled his word to Abraham by visiting Sarah, as he has said. I love that scripture in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 to 6. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. I would like you to substitute that with your name. Praise the Lord. We're going to read together. Genesis 21, verse 1. One to go. And the Lord visited Joseph as he had said, and the Lord did to Joseph as he had spoken. Praise the Lord. That will be your testimony today. Because everything God said concerning you, God is going to bring it to pass as you praise him. In the name of Jesus. So to see prophecies fulfilled, we must remain strong in faith, giving glory to God like Abraham did. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, beginning from this service, a new dawn arises for you. Give Jesus a big, big hand of praise. Now, before we go into the praises, let's consider what God has for us in breaking invisible barriers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are barriers, visible and invisible, but the more deadly is the invisible one. When you see a visible barrier, you can deter. Praise the Lord. You can change course. Oh, this is a barrier, you change. But when you don't see it, that's problematic. That's why we lay emphasis on invisible barriers. But everything that it will take to break invisible barrier, we automatically destroy visible barriers. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, in this service this morning, by the word of God and by the power of praise, every visible and invisible barrier shall be destroyed in your life. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, we must understand that we have the redemptive right to clear invisible barriers off our path of destiny as believers. We have the, by redemption, we have the right to clear off invisible barriers. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1 to 3, he said, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money." I decree today in the name of Jesus, whatsoever barrier that is holding you down, whatsoever barrier that is not making you to advance in life, in the name of Jesus Christ, if I be a man of God, today comes an end to that barrier in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say with me, I have the redemptive right to clear all invisible barriers. Also, we must understand that invisible barriers are real, but we can clear them off our path. Invisible barriers are real. So don't say there's no witch, there's no wizard, there's no... They are real. All manipulation of the devil, satanic, they are real. Satan is the principal enemy, but Satan has all his agents to use to cause barriers. But you don't need to be afraid, because you have the redemptive right to clear them off. And God is going to be showing us quickly how to clear them off this morning and how to be empowered to put them under our feet forever. Praise the Lord. So when we are talking about breaking invisible barrier, it's not just breaking, we are talking about overcoming them and being on top of them forever. So God is going to give us quick tips this morning, what we need to do to clear them off so that you are not crying to the man of God all the times. You are not coming to the pastor all the time that, oh, pastor, pray for me, pastor, do this for me. You are empowered to be able to do it yourself. Praise the Lord. Because you are entering into the realm of victory this morning, and that is permanent victory for you. In the name of Jesus. Invisible barriers are real. Like that, the story Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 28. The man planted good seed. But when men slept, the enemy came and planted bad seed there. So they didn't see when the barrier came. They didn't see it. And they hardly can recognize it. That's the undoing of invisible barrier. But it doesn't matter who planted it this morning, it shall be cleared off. Now, quickly, how do we break invisible barriers? Number one, become and remain a child of light. Become and remain a child of light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 6, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So in order to break invisible barriers or overcome invisible barriers, you need to become a child of light. But not just become a child of light, you must remain permanently in light. Now, the only reason why you will not see barrier is when it is dark. Praise the Lord. So most invisible barriers operate in the realm of darkness. So you need to engage the power of light. You need to become and remain a child of light. That's number one. Number two is keep walking in the light of the world. It's not enough for you to become the child of light. And when I say become the child of light, I'm saying you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must follow God. You must have God in your life. Then you must keep walking in his word. Keep walking in the light of the world. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not why that he goeth. Light is very vital in overcoming invisible barriers because light makes everything clear. This week, I led the team of our leaders to Maryland on Thursday. And when we're going, it was very bright. I mean, everything can be well seen. Because we returned the same day while we're coming. It was dark. And when we were going, I didn't know the light of the car was not as bright. So, but when we were coming, when it was dark, it became an issue. Maybe some of them are hearing it for the first time right now. In fact, the first person I told said, I didn't know. Because I was the one driving. So my speed was limited because I could not see very clearly because the light was dim. That's the power of light. So I was left at the help of the ongoing vehicle. So I maintained speed, and thank God, God sent one angelic car. It was just, you know, cruising. So I just put it on cruise too. So just following the light. When you don't have light, you are limited. When you don't have light, you can be affected by invisible barriers. I was very careful, extra careful when returning than when going because of limitation of light. That's the power of light. I decree today in the name of Jesus that the word of God coming to you is lightening your path and shattering all invisible barriers. And number three, keep walking by faith. Keep walking by faith. Don't just believe anything the devil is trying to sell to you. You have the ability, you have the power. When you are born again, you have the ability to overcome Satan's power by the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. And now it is this same word that builds our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And there is nothing that can stop the power of faith. So engage your faith. Keep walking by faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. As long as you keep walking by faith, you overcome all invisible barriers. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Anything that is contrary to the word of God is a lie of the devil. Engage your faith. And that leaves us with responsibility to build our faith. Faith is not just built by coming to church and doing nothing. Faith is built by coming to church, hearing the word, and putting the word to work by practicing the word, application of the word. And start from somewhere. Don't hear too many words and you don't do nothing with it. And number four, keep serving God and the interests of his kingdom. You know why? When you serve God, you always have God on your side. When you please God by serving him, and we have ample opportunities to serve God. This season of reaching out to souls, you can be involved on the streets, reaching out to souls. You can be involved praying for the kingdom. You can also be involved following up on the souls. You can be involved in preparing for the service. There are so many opportunities. It's a division of labor. Imagine if everybody is reaching to the souls and we don't have people in-house to open the door. We don't have people to arrange the chairs. We don't have people to sing. We are just reaching out to them. Who is going to take care of them? If we reach out to them, some people still need to follow them up. Praise the Lord. So you can volunteer. We have all of these ample opportunities. And when you are serving God this way, automatically God is clearing the barriers on your path. We saw an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 to 15, how they swore to serve the Lord, and the Lord restored peace and gave them rest round about. You know what barriers, you know how they affect people? Barriers take your peace, barrier takes your joy, barrier breaks you down, but in the name of Jesus, that shall not be you. Because as you keep serving God, God will give you all round rest. Rest in your marriage, rest over your children, rest over your business, rest in your finances, in the name of Jesus Christ. And number four, be committed to a life of prayer and fasting. Number five, right? Be committed to a life of prayer and fasting. It's very, very important. Jesus told the disciples, "O ye of little faith, you cannot take care of this little one, how be it? This kind does not happen except with prayer and fasting." That's why in this commission, every Wednesday, we wait upon the Lord. And we have another opportunity every first week. We also wait upon the Lord 3 days. And another one is starting this month. The truth is, you can't contract fasting. Don't let anybody deceive you. You know, the people can deceive you and say, "Bring me money, I will fast for you." And when they collect your money, they can use your money to even feed their stomach. Because you won't be there when they are fasting. Even if you go to watch them, they will clean their mouth and say, "You have been fasting." So that's why we don't fast for people in this church. We don't collect your money to say, "Don't worry, we can fast for you." Nobody is going to fast for you. You have to fast for yourself. Praise the Lord. And when you fast, barriers are broken. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 to 11, you can see all fasting can do. It will break, your light will come, and when your light come, it will break every yoke. Number six, keep speaking boldly against all unwanted situations. Whatever you don't speak, God cannot confirm. Don't just have the faith and keep it within you. Declare it. Speak it boldly. Now, look at the prophecies of 10,000 churches. God's servant was saying it. He was saying it. He was working at it. He was saying it, he was working at it. So let your word and your action complement each other. You are working, you are declaring it. Even if it looks as if it's not going to come to pass, keep declaring it. Keep declaring it. When the devil, somebody said one time in a teaching like this, he came to a man of God and he said, when he sleeps, the one bird is always, you know, disturbing. He said, "It's because you are so quiet. God is disturbing you. What are you doing? Are you also praying?" So he said, when the body is disturbing you, you too begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when he started praying in the Holy Ghost, all the disturbances of the body disappeared. Shout hallelujah. So what am I saying? Keep speaking. When the devil is speaking, make sure you are not quiet. In Luke chapter 21, verse 15, he said, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." So keep speaking boldly against all unwanted situations. If you don't like where you are, speak yourself out of it. Don't let anybody talk you down. Somebody say, everybody can die. Refuse it. Say, not everybody, as I am right now, I can never die. Declare it. Don't say it under your tongues. Not me, everybody can die, but not. Say it boldly, let the person hear it. Let him challenge you if he want to challenge you. How do you mean that anybody? I say anybody can. I said not me. Anybody can die, but not me. I cannot die. Praise the Lord. Declare it. And finally, number seven, engage in praise as a lifestyle. Lifestyle. Even though we are going to commit, we are going to start it this morning, but praise should be a lifestyle. We studied that in WSF yesterday. One habit of success is what? Gratitude. And what gratitude does is to lead us into praise. So let it be a lifetime. It's not something we should do at the end of the month. It's not something we should do in November month alone. It should be a lifestyle. You are just praising God. You are just celebrating God. And what you are doing is you are bringing God on the scene to clear all obstacles. In Psalm 114, when Israel went out of Egypt, and as Judah was their sanctuary, God came down and God cleared off all the obstacles. That would be somebody's testimony. And finally, receive and believe in the ministry of the prophet sent your way. God has given us a prophet in this commission. Believe him. When you believe, the proof that you believe him is you should believe what he declared. He has declared that this year is our year of breaking limit. Believe it. Now, how do you enter into the breaking limit? Deliver your own portion. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Reach out to 10 souls. Ensure they follow you to church. Then you enter into it. Believe that. And the proof you believe is that you obey. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. Matthew chapter 10 verse 41. God still set people free from the shackles of the wicked through the ministry of the prophets today. Just like he did. He delivered the Israelites from Egypt through the hand of Moses, the prophet. And today, God has given the liberation mandate to our father, Bishop David Edipo. Your own liberation shall be fully delivered in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. However, anointed prophets can clear the barriers of our path, we must take responsibility as individuals to keep the barriers off permanently. How do we take responsibilities? By everything we have said this morning. Be a child of light. Remain a child of light. Engage your faith. Serve the Lord. Engage the weapon of prayer and fasting. Engage the weapon of praise. And the moment you are going to be praising the Lord, make sure you do warfare with praise. That's one thing praise does. And that we understand it very well in this ministry. When you are praising and you are dancing, I thought before that in America they don't dance. No. You know, America does not belong to anyone. America is for everyone. Whether you are black, Hispanic, Latino, Jewish, or whatever. Everybody is an American. Praise the Lord. So it's not like a particular group. So I thought in America they don't dance. But just go to dancing class and you see all manner of people. Say, so people can dance like this. But when you come to church, why don't you dance? In fact, dance has physical benefits. Now, but we are not even talking about the physical benefit. We're talking about the spiritual implication. And I think I've taught you before how to dance. If you don't know how to dance, it's very simple. If just take your hand like this alone, that's dance. Just be doing like this. Only make sure you don't hit somebody. And you can take this one like this. And if you like, you can be jumping. I mean, just be jumping. Or you go to the front, take this one back. It's very easy. When you are doing that, you are glorifying God. And when you praise God, God steps down. And when God steps down, all barriers are cleared off. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, whatsoever that is a barrier, that is, there are so many things troubling people's life, but they can't see. They don't even know where it's coming from. Maybe from your village, maybe from your friends, maybe from... But Satan is the masterminder of all of the barriers. This morning, as God steps in by praise, Satan will fizzle out in the name of Jesus. Rise with me to your feet this morning. Is somebody excited? Lift up your voice. Let's appreciate the Lord. Let's give him praise and glory. Magnify him. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, take your seat 1 minute. If you are not saved, you cannot even praise God. The praises of sinners are like abomination to God. They are abominations to God. God cannot receive it. If you are not saved this morning and you want to be saved, you want to give your life to Jesus, I would like to pray for you. Whether you are in church or you are online watching me, I want to lead you to Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You are troubled in your heart. You are confused. Jesus is the solution. He said, come unto me, all ye that are troubled and burdened and ever laden, I will give you rest. You want to give your life to Christ? Please lift up your hand. I will pray for you this morning if you are in this sanctuary. And say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Come into my life. I make you my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.